WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An investigation underway after officials say a local man drove his car through the front doors of a Latter-day Saints church near Flint, Michigan, opened fire, then set the place on fire, killing four people before he was killed by police. FBI Special Agent in Charge Reuben Coleman.
The FBI is now leading the investigation and is investigating this as an act of targeted violence.
Congressional leaders meet with President Trump today on avoiding a government shutdown. Republican Rand Paul tells Face the Nation he can't go along with either party.
I oppose the Republican plan because it adds debt. The Democrat plan would add $3 trillion in debt. So really, both plans are laden with deficit spending.
Oregon's filed suit against the Trump administration after the president ordered 200 National Guard troops into Portland. Mayor Keith Wilson.
President Trump has directed all necessary troops to Portland, Oregon. The number of necessary troops is zero in Portland and any other American city.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has reported another significant increase in the number of calls for falls in 2024. According to a recent report, emergency crews responded to over 140,000 calls for residents who were hurt in a fall. The total is nearly 10,000 higher than 2023 and over 35,000 higher than 2019. DHS officials say the state's aging population is a contributing factor in the increased number of falls. Wisconsin also has the highest fall death rate among older adults in the country. Wisconsin state lawmakers have introduced legislation to ban hemp-derived THC products in Wisconsin. Lisa Hill reports.
The proposed bill would close a loophole in the 2018 federal farm bill, allowing certain kinds of items like beverages and vapes that contain THC to be sold legally. The bill would change the technical definition of hemp and ban the sale of items that contain synthetic cannabinoids.
Republican State Representative Scott Krug has introduced a proposal to allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots a day earlier. The current election process requires clerks to wait until election day to count absentee ballots, causing delays in larger areas of the state like Madison and Milwaukee. The proposal would also require absentee ballot drop boxes to have 24-hour video surveillance live streamed on the local municipality's website and require that ballots be transferred from the drop boxes to a storage facility under law enforcement supervision. Krug said his goals for Wisconsin elections include three things: that the person voting is who they say they are, that the person is eligible to vote, and that we know who won the election before we go to bed on election night. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Final score, 40-40. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Cowboys and the Packers battled through overtime only to have the game end in a 40-40 tie. It was Micah Parsons' first game back against the Cowboys. What was his reaction to the draw?
I'm not even gonna lie, I'm pissed off. I'm very disappointed. You know, I even told Jordan to the side, you know, thank you for having our back today.
So the Packers are now 2-1-1 heading into their bye. Did the Packers do anything different? I asked Cowboys defensive lineman Kenny Clark.
Yeah, it was all the same. I mean, same stuff we expected. 1-2-1 is way better than 1-3.
Baseball, the Brewers beat the Reds 4-2. And now they wait to find out who they'll face in the playoffs. When did they realize that they had turned the season around?
We were going to lose our third game in a row, I believe, in Pittsburgh on a dreary, cold day. And we had 3-0-2 doubles. It was a grinder day. And then since then, I don't know what our record was, but it was really, really darn good.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Todd Alba.
She's a broadcasting legend in Wisconsin, and we're lucky enough to have her here at Civic Media. We start our new segment. Jane Matinere joins us for Matinere Mondays. Next time, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Monday morning. It is September 29th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller are both here. Selena Heller has a story about public employees and a solid pension retirement system here in Wisconsin. Same goes in Iowa, but now some Republican politicians have been undermining it. We'll be hearing all about that. And then coming up yet later this morning at 7:35, Raul Pavar works with AI cybersecurity, and we'll have some advice on how to avoid deep fakes and phishing emails. Then at 8:05, we will be talking to Ellsworth teacher Krista Lasecki. Well, I should say former Ellsworth teacher Krista Lasecki. She's one of the people that Congressman Derek Van Orden and other Republicans have had fired as part of the new Red Scare in this country. God forbid you say something critical about Charlie Kirk, who had a lot of critical things to say in his own short lifetime. And this Ellsworth teacher, after a 30-year career, is out of a job because of a congressman who wanted to politicize an assassination. So we will talk to her coming up at 8:05. Then at 8:35, Laura Bird will be here recommending some books for us, especially books that tie in with this week's Day of Remembrance and Reconciliation about the tragic part of our history revolving Indian boarding schools. So we have a lot to cover, along with the Packers ending up in a tie with Dallas, 40-40, when all was said and done. The Brewers beat the Reds and move on to the postseason. They wait to find out who wins between the Cubs and the Padres. That series starts tomorrow at Wrigley Field with games Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoon, if necessary, to see who will be at American Family Field on Saturday to take on the Milwaukee Brewers. Brittany Merlot is off today. It is time now to play today's first round of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you can win a daily prize of cash and jewelry, and you could be in the running for grand prize as well. So head over to the Civic Media app and use the text feature so that you can send a text to one of the stations and text us this keyword before 8 a.m. The word is early, as in early morning, E-A-R-L-Y, early. Text us that before 8 a.m. for a chance to win that daily prize, which includes $200 cash and a gold-plated chain. And then one grand prize winner out of all the entries will get two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota play a little football, a Green Bay home game on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game. Total value of the grand prize is more than $1,500. Full contest rules at civicmedia.us. Again, by 8 a.m., text us the word early, E-A-R-L-Y. All right, 7:09 right now, and Selena Heller works on stories for Up North News, but also for some of our other Courier newsroom outlets, including Iowa Starting Line, where Selena in Iowa, they have, much like in Wisconsin, you know, public employees have a pension or retirement system there. In Wisconsin, we have one of the strongest, most secure, healthy retirement systems in the country. I don't know what the status was in Iowa compared to Wisconsin, but things were working well. until some Republican politicians decided to try to undermine things. Do you want to set up the package that you put together that we're going to play?
Sure. Yeah. In Iowa, too, it was pretty highly regarded. IPERS, it's called Iowa Public Employees Retirement System. And yeah, IPERS was a very strong system. It still is. And so, you know, everybody questions, why would we change it? So there's a DOGE task force convened by the Governor Kim Reynolds in Iowa. And she started this task force in February and wanted recommendations today. So they've been coming up with recommendations to cut things in Iowa and supposedly save money. And they've been having meetings. And so one of their meetings earlier this year was talking about one of the big things, the controversies, was changing IPERS. And their recommendations, like I said, is going to, they're all going to come out today, the kind of their final countdown. And so here is, I talked with a few people in Iowa about this. And then I got contacted about from a lot of people who were in the IPERS program after I just asked somebody, you know, can I use your photos? And can I, and then I just had this influx of people that were like, and their slogan is hands off my IPERS. And so I got a lot of, people talking to me after that.
It's definitely touched a nerve. Let's give a listen to Selena's report.
37 years, that's how long Terry Dutcher's career as a teacher spanned in Iowa.
So I started teaching at Waterloo West Junior High in 1970.
And if you talk with Terry, you'll find out fast that she cherishes all of the people she met along the way.
A lot of us, we were all together at West Intermediate for probably almost 20 years together. And as I said, I've still in contact with a lot of my former students.
While friendships are a memorable benefit of her nearly four decades as an educator, Terry says she and many of her colleagues live paycheck to paycheck. So it was the benefit of IPERS, or the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System, that paid out respect.
It made me feel appreciated after I retired.
We make an investment in IPERS as a state because these people are very important parts of our public services. So our teachers, all of our state employees, local fire and police, those are incredibly important roles to our communities. We have to show their value by providing a good retirement for them. I mean, that's what they deserve. They deserve our respect.
But a Governor Kim Reynolds handpicked DOGE task force wants to gut Iowa's retirement program. The partisan panel, whose Republican Party already has imposed limits on bargaining rights, is reviving an unpopular idea, replacing IPERS. Right now, IPERS is a defined benefit pension plan that guarantees a lifetime monthly payment based on a formula rather than relying on stock market performance. And there's no one at the table to contest it, even though there are about 250,000 working people in Iowa who are currently contributing to the plan.
It's incredibly frustrating to me that we would have a task force looking at state government and spending and not include any state employees. We only have folks who are working in the private business world, and it's really concerning that folks in the private business world would propose taking away the one thing that makes public employment competitive with their market.
The task force continues to recommend weakening IPERS by reducing future contributions. IPERS is a proven driver of local economies, with 1 in 10 Iowans benefiting from their contributions. It is a fair and equitable system that has proven to be a powerful tool for attracting new employees and retaining the ones we already have.
So we're going to have educators, law enforcement, firefighters, public employees of any kind look at Iowa and say, if this is on the table, I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to move my life here. I'm not going to start a family here if I could lose my retirement benefits in the future.
Most important thing for me was respect and being treated like a professional.
And that really, I mean, we saw that with Act 10 as well, Selena. This whole notion of treating our public employees as second-class citizens is really the sense I get from them, from your report.
Right. And you heard that about, it's just about respect. Yeah, we had that all change up in 2011 with Governor Scott Walker with the pension program here in Wisconsin. But yeah, that was Senator Sarah Trone Garriott in Illinois. She's from West Des Moines, so she has a lot to say about that. And then the Iowa State Education Association President Joshua Brown. So There's that'll be a lot of talk in Iowa today.
Now, there's nothing that indicates currently that something like that could happen with the Wisconsin employee retirement system, but it is a cautionary tale because, again, in this infatuation with Doge-like things that slash just for the sake of slashing, you make things a lot worse in the long run. And Kristen, you can testify to that from a healthcare standpoint, as well as all the good public employees that you and I know.
They really sell it as we're running things like a business and it's going to be more efficient, but there are consequences. And I think, especially with regards to healthcare, we are about to feel those consequences. We're seeing an average of 18 to 20% of premium increases coming just on the horizon, months away. We know that healthcare is going to get expensive for all of us, and millions of people are about to lose their healthcare. And these are all consequences, not of what Selena's talking about here, but of just this Doge-type cutting that is irresponsible and, frankly, not in the best interest of the people.
No, it's not. We have not yet had a chance to talk to the attack on to talk about the attack on a Michigan church, a deadly attack there on a Mormon church. And Kristen, you had your show this weekend, which also looked at a school shooting and the ongoing scourge of violence.
Yeah, it's an incredible episode. Two parents of Ascension Assumption, the Catholic school in Minneapolis where the shooting occurred. They tell their story from walking their son to school to coming back home to what they're doing now in the wake of this. And, you know, here we are a month later and more shootings yesterday. It just continues to happen in this country. So now we've got more advocates and now we've got more Americans who believe in responsible gun ownership, in making sure people can get access to mental health care. And we need to keep pushing forward. So please listen, this is a really important episode, the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Get it where you get your podcasts or listen Saturdays and Sundays at 3 on WISS out of Oshkosh Appleton and WGBW Sunday mornings at 9. And again, learn more over at civicmedia.us. And Selena's story is over at Iowa Starting Line. That's iowastartingline.com, part of the Courier Newsroom Network. Phew. You guys are busy. I mean, I just sit here and just pivot to you guys and say, what are you guys doing for work? You're getting it all done. Thank goodness. So Selena, I don't understand, much like Parker, I don't understand this not drinking coffee thing. What is your beverage of choice here in the mornings?
Well, you know, before I went to work at like 2 a.m. and they would always laugh at me because I would bring milk.
Milk.
Like, what?
Milk.
What are you doing?
As you work with Anchorman, that was a bad choice.
Oh. Okay. Well. Yep. I would bring milk. That's what I would
bring. Strong bones, healthy teeth, good skin. All right. Understandable. Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob. It's clear and 44 degrees. I've got a couple of mowing jobs near my house today to enjoy the near 80 degree day over the weekend. I went to Tigerton Apple Fest, ate too much, but had a great time. I took a drive around to look at the fall colors, took pictures. It was a great autumn weekend. I hope Kristen enjoyed her Highway 29 drive. There's a song called My Highway 20 Ride, but I changed to Highway 20. I made it up in the early 2000s. Rob says the Packers and Cowboys played the highest scoring tie game in NFL history, 40-40. And he says, going to feel like an extension of summer this week. Yes, obviously it is.
Can we talk about the Packer game for a second? Because it was like, it was back and forth and back. It was one of those games that you had to watch. You were just on the seat of your chair the whole time. And at the very end, they build it as the Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones, what's going to happen? Micah Parsons saved that game for the Packers with a tackle of Dak Prescott. So it all kind of like played out the way that it was supposed to. The drama was real.
But then I see everybody posting who was there. Some of my friends, I had a couple friends there. They were like, and then a big collective disappointment at the end because nobody won. And it was just all doom and gloom because it was like, no excitement.
Cowboys, you want to beat the Cowboys. But the point well taken, we may not have beaten the Cowboys were it not for Micah Parsons.
That's exactly right. So enjoy it.
We definitely have that. All right. Again, you can read more from Selena Haller over at Up North News and on Iowa Starting Line. And Dr. Kristen Lierley has her show on the weekends as well. And still ahead, in about 15 minutes, we are going to be talking to an AI technology expert about deep fakes and phishing emails and how to stay safe. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025, but what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care, together we build better lives.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor, at 715-421-0958.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Medicare, you have to adjust to that, and this kind of affects that. So, I think that for many people like myself that are many years away from this, haven't thought much about it, well, I pick a plan and I'm good. That in a perfect world, maybe, but that's just not how the world we have and everything. So much of what we're doing, what you guys are doing there and everything, is trying to balance that and work, you know, okay, what have they changed here? Mm-hmm. How does this affect my clients? How does this affect the people in my community?
Yeah, absolutely. It looks really simple from the outside, right, when we don't have it.
Right.
And then Once you start getting into that world and you have Medicare, it's way more complicated than any of us realize before we get to that point.
Yeah, it's kind of a gift in some ways, being there for my parents, caregiving those things, because I'm learning so much of this stuff now beforehand and realizing, oh, I don't know anything.
Right.
Like, I feel like that is something that I don't want to walk into that age and just learn about that year. That, you know, I want to know these things beforehand. I think the more of us that do, the better, you know, the more we can enjoy retirement, the more we can enjoy those things.
Absolutely. That education is key, right? Being informed, knowing what choices we have.
When does this take place exactly?
So the open enrollment period is from October 15th to December 7th. December 7th is the cutoff. If whatever you have at that point is going to go into effect January 1st. So if you do nothing, you're going to have the same plan. If you change your plan by December 7th, either way, that's January 1st coverage.
And that's that October 15th is right around the corner. So a great time to be talking about this and a great time for you out there, if this applies to you, to be thinking about it.
Absolutely. Yep.
If needing to find the best plan, who to contact and some of that information. And there were some other things I wanted to touch on with this as well.
Yeah. So there's a lot of information out there during this time of year. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. The best way to stay safe and avoid scams or bad practices is to make sure that you work with somebody that you trust. And that's where we come in. The ADRC is a great place to help you when you're trying to figure out what the best coverage is for you. Our services are free. We don't sell any plans, so we're not biased. We can just kind of look at everything that's out there. We have a great team of benefit specialists that can help you compare those plans. And then appointments with us, with our agency are available for residents of Lincoln, Langlade, Marathon, or Wood counties by calling 888-486-9545. You can call Monday through Friday, 8 to 4. You would choose option number 3 for benefits from our menu, and then you choose option 1 for open enrollment. And then if you reside outside of those counties, you can find your local benefit specialist or ADRC by checking online at dhs.wisconsin.gov, and they have a search spot for that. You can also work with a trusted agent or explore those plans on your own at medicare.gov. You just have to make sure it's .gov because there's fake ones out there.
Yeah. Always be looking at those end letters of those web addresses, everybody. That is a key to a lot of that, helping you through a lot of those things. And a big credit to the ADRC, to all of our nonprofits in this area, really. The transparency is where we win people, you remind people and win people over at the same time. We know that, on a basis that, what you just said there, that you're not selling any of these things. Nobody's in the ADRC's pocket or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when we're able to just, get it out there for people, I think it's all the more comes home for them. And it makes it much more, hopefully, likely for them to reach out to you guys.
Absolutely. And the cool thing about us, right, we don't charge for anything. We look at all the plans. So even if you already work with an agent or somebody mm-hmm. that you trust, you can always come and see us and then go back to your agent and buy the plan through them.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point. I appreciate that. Speaking with Bettina Peters from the ADRC CW right here in Central Wisconsin, volunteer opportunities is something I wanted to touch on as well with you, as we like to do before we wrap up with our ADRC. And part of the reason is I maintained for many years with the audience here, I think that it may be some of the best volunteer opportunities there is with the ADRC. So I always like to put some time on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I love our volunteers. They're amazing. They
people.
Do such a great job. We do have some really great opportunities, flexible scheduling, things like that. So currently have 3 volunteer opportunities available in Wisconsin Rapids with our nutrition team. So all of those positions are flexible. They're available Monday through Friday. And as they say, many hands make light work. So there's meal packaging, which is where our caterer delivers the food in bulk. It's cooked and ready to go. And then volunteers package the food into individual trays that are sealed and separated onto the Meals on Wheels routes. And that time frame for volunteering is about 9:30 in the morning to about 10:30, 10:45. Okay?
Not bad at all.
Not bad at all, no. And then from there, it goes to our Meals on Wheels volunteers, which is also a position that's available. And the volunteer drivers pick up those meals at Centralia between 10:30 and 10:45. There's insulated bags that keep the hot meals separate from the cold part, so for food safety. And then the drivers are able to deliver those meals to the door. They get to greet people. They give them their meal. They have that great interaction, right? And then they head on to the next home for delivery. So even though that's a really quick interaction, it actually helps older adults in our area know that someone is going to see them every day. They kind of get that brief check-in, a little bit of socialization, a little bit of, hey, just making sure you're okay. And then those routes can vary from 8 to 15 deliveries and take about an hour to an hour and a half. And then when you're finished delivering, you just bring back the bags and paperwork to the Centralia Center.
And keeping in mind that the ADRC wants to work with you, they don't want you to have to, you live over here, you work over here, and you're traveling to the other side of town. They want to work with you as far as where you are in your schedule and what fits best. We have a big community, and a lot of our senior population is spread out. So chances are wherever you're living or you're working might fit just perfectly with Meals on Wheels. The time commitment is not very big. And I certainly appreciate and respect. And the number one on this list of reasons to do this is the clients and the people that you're bringing these meals to.
Absolutely.
And I encourage people to, if you haven't done this before, to take just literally a brief moment and put yourself in those shoes of you living alone and not having a lot of interaction with others. And the idea of something like to look forward to, where you know you're going to talk to another person. You know somebody's going to be coming by. You know that somebody's going to be bringing a meal. And a good meal, you know, not just something that you threw into the microwave, but an actually really good meal and stuff. All of that, what that would mean to you if you were in that position. And also keeping in mind that while this is first and foremost for those clients, I guarantee that you will get just as much out of this and have just as great memories and be just as thankful to you got to volunteer. It's a gift to volunteer and be a part of this. It really is, everybody. It is. Reach out to our ADRC to find out more about that. And you mentioned senior dining. This is another key part of this as well.
Yeah, so Meals on Wheels is for people that are homebound, and that's where that relationship piece, that visit comes in, really, it's really important. But then we also have this.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Dairy producers thought changes to the federal milk marketing orders would improve their position in the marketplace. It hasn't. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news, and their voices are being heard in Washington, D.C. Zippy Duval is the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation.
The news is not good when it comes to what we call make allowance. The make allowance determines what is deducted from farmers' check to help pay for the cost of processing. In just 3 months, America's dairy farmers have lost more than $337 million because of the increase in make allowances. USDA is now required to survey processors' costs every other year, but has yet to announce a timeline. We urge USDA to move quickly to schedule the new cost survey so that future hearings reflect the actual processing costs.
Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. What happened to the dairy markets on Friday? I've got numbers next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel, all in, all season.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 162.25. 40-pound block cheese down 1.25 cents, 162.5. But AA butter on Friday finished the week another 8 cents stronger at $1.72 per pound. This morning in Chicago, October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 7, $16.86. November up 21 at $16.39. Currently, December new crop corn, that's down 1 cent, stands at $4.21. November new crop beans down 3.5 at $10.10. July wheat currently up 0.5 at $5.61 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. Remember, World Dairy Expo 2025 officially opens to the general public tomorrow morning starting at 9 a.m. Follow the Midwest Farm Report team at MidwestFarmReport.com or any of the social media streams you follow. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 48.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will get a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media News Director Sally Pittman. And we're going to talk about PFAS in Wisconsin Ducks with David Drake. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back at 7:35. A reminder of our keyword for this morning's early edition of the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Early edition because that's the keyword, early, E-A-R-L-Y. Use the Civic Media app and text us the word early before 8 o'clock, and you will be entered for the daily prize drawing, which is cash and some gold jewelry, and every entry in gets you the grand prize, tickets to see Green Bay play Minnesota. Play some football in Green Bay in November. Some nice indoor seats available. Details at civicmedia.us. But again, before 8 o'clock, text us the word early. Then you'll have more chances to win, starting with Matinair on air at 9 o'clock here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's talk a bit about cybersecurity here, and we'll talk about it from a few different standpoints, things that we can do personally, but especially things that businesses can do to provide security for themselves, but frankly, for their reputation as well. And maybe other government leaders could be doing in an age where AI, artificial intelligence, is becoming more and more prevalent and provides a lot of opportunities. It also provides a lot of risks that we need to know about. Raul Pavar is with RedSift. He has a rather fascinating resume in high-tech development and security. Folks would recognize part of his early work as part of the founding team and principal technical architect for Shazam back in 2000, building the first Shazam iPhone app alongside other systems that are related to music recognition and more. And then along with other roles over the years, he now has a cybersecurity company, RedSift, as part of his personal dedication to making the internet safer. And he joins us this morning to talk about AI and, again, keeping ourselves as safe as possible when we're online. Raul Pavar, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you here. And like I said, you have a lot of experience that you've now dedicated toward internet safety. And a lot of your work is geared on the business side. So we will come to the personal side and maybe the government side as well. But from a business standpoint, the thing that jumped out at me was the way that a lot of what's letting bad individuals in and work on things like, you know, phishing emails and things are when companies have what are called forgotten subdomains that were mistakenly left in their systems and that other, you know, other actors can take advantage of. So it sounds like you're really specializing in ways that businesses are unwittingly providing avenues for bad actors to come in and do things to the business or to their customers. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's right. I think most of your listeners would probably recognize the fact that there is an awful lot of phishing and fraud and impersonation going on online, whether that's, you know, from their banking partners, the bank, their healthcare providers. And this is actually happening all around the world. And that's mainly driven by a couple of things. And one of them is that organizations have a really hard time getting their hands around all of this infrastructure that they now have out on the internet that's communicating with their customers, with their supply chains. And bad actors are looking for all kinds of weaknesses that they can use to impersonate that organization, abuse that trust and relationship that they developed with their customers and the general public, and use that for, you know, some sort of nefarious activity.
And the reason that that's important, well, one of many, though, is that it doesn't take much for trust to be violated if you're a business, a small business, big business, whatever the case, that, you know, you may have thought that you had nothing to do with a phishing campaign that uses your company's name, but your company's name can get besmirched in a hurry nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, in most surveys that are conducted, roughly 75% of customers will cut ties with a brand after a major cyber incident. And many of those customers will actually blame the company, not the attackers, ironically enough, for, not keeping the house in order or basically not having the securities that are required to prevent these types of attacks from being effective. In some cases, that is unfair. I mean, a lot of organizations do have, are under an enormous amount of strain, and cyber attackers are looking for any kind of weakness that they can find. But the reality is that, these things happen, and when they happen, the impact of that can be quite significant.
We're talking to Rahul Pawar. He's the founder of RedSift, an internet security company, about AI and deepfakes and phishing expeditions and things like that. And so let's talk not so much about the big businesses. A lot of them, well, they're aware of things. They have their own challenges. And certainly I know as a legislator, once upon a time, working with state government, and I was blown away at the statistics on just how many attacks any given corporate system is getting on any given day that you have to fend off. But apart from government and big business, when you look at some of these, medium-sized businesses, however you want to define them, I'm sure that it's one thing they didn't think that they'd have to think about, and probably to them sounds like, I don't want to say an unnecessary expense, but I'm sure they wonder about the return on investment. So when you're working on businesses that aren't, say in the Fortune 500, what do you tell them about the need to make those investments in the cybersecurity of their business?
Yeah, that's a very good point. So naturally, I'm a technologist, so I feel pretty comfortable with technology. But there are lots of businesses, all the way from regional banks and healthcare providers to someone who runs an e-commerce shop online in their particular niche. A lot of those businesses don't realize that they're actually pretty digital today because they acquire customers through digital channels. They manage their internal systems of HR and payroll and their banking systems, all of that online really in 2025. So many businesses just haven't gotten around the mindset that actually whatever they may have done over the last 100 years, these days, a lot of their risk is actually in the digital domain. And this is particularly true of those medium-sized businesses, those regional businesses that are out there. And they need to think about their cybersecurity, their internet security, in very much the same way as they think about their physical security. And the way they rationalize those physical security investments, they've got to extend that to the digital domain, because the impact of getting it wrong over there is actually pretty significant for everyone today.
Well, and that's where, in looking at your website, redsift.com, I took note of, the need to fight AI with AI. The note here says, effective defense requires AI tools that can scan the full attack surface, detect deepfakes and lookalike domains, prioritize the most dangerous threats, and drastically cut the need for manual triage workloads. That's a very in-depth way of saying it used to be really easy to spot phishing. People still fell for it, but it was, dear customer and things like that. And now, essentially, because they're using AI, you're saying AI has to be part of the toolkit for fighting the worst tools that AI can put out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, about 10 years ago, most people would train their employees that, if you want to spot phishing, look for misspellings, look for bad English. Nowadays, pretty much every bad actor has access to some sort of AI that's going to bang out perfect personalized English for, to target the target end customers. There's going to be AI that's going to spin up websites that look exactly like your bank, exactly like your healthcare provider, except all the links and buttons that point to various types of nefarious services. So this is really being industrialized and superpowered through the use of AI. And I think it's unrealistic to expect society, really, businesses, governments, to fight this with just your human capital. It just isn't a very scalable solution. So us and a whole bunch of other businesses are out there trying to put AI tools into the hands of the defenders so that they can address some of these challenges in the same level of efficiency and scale that the attackers have access to today.
So again, fighting AI with AI, again, you want to be fighting against, you know, hackers and others on a level playing field. Is there anything in the notion of policy that either, you know, a federal government like Congress or state governments at the legislative level, are there things that they can do to improve the situation as well? Or at this point, is public policy essentially powerless when you've got this much high tech, you know, that's already floating out there, changing and evolving every day?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I don't think there's a short answer to that, but I'll try my best. There are a whole bunch of technical solutions that are out there that can keep the general public safe. And a few of them have actually been mandated. So, you know, there's some federal legislation that requires organizations to keep an inventory of all their digital assets, to implement certain protocols that help harden this attack surface against this type of impersonation. But it's quite limited in scope. It only hits, you know, certain types of organizations that are critical national infrastructure or federal government itself. I think rolling that out to, you know, as you mentioned before, the thousands and thousands of mid-market businesses that are out there that handle sensitive data like healthcare or financial data, those sorts of organizations should also probably have some sort of requirement to do the minimum that is required to stay secure online today. But that's taking a long time to really go through at any level of scale.
We're talking to Rahul Pawar from RedSift about AI and cybersecurity. We've spent a lot of time on the email and the phishing end of things. So many people are vulnerable to just clicking on the wrong thing, trusting an email too much. But from the standpoint of AI, there's also what's being done with deep fakes in terms of video and audio, but especially video. There was a report over the weekend about President Trump apparently essentially responding to a video that turned out to be a deep fake video. And I guess there are people that would want to throw up their hands and say, well, I can't believe anything I see if I can't trust that, you know, a video isn't a deep fake. But I don't think the answer is to throw your computer in the garbage. can you help us try to navigate an era of deep fakes and try to be more mindful or just eternally cynical about what we see?
Yeah, I think for now, eternally cynical is a reasonable default setting when you're browsing the internet or media. I mean, to be fair, people don't fully understand just how easy and how effective the tools are today to generate these types of, you know, still images and video. I mean, everyone appreciates that AI models can generate some pretty compelling text. But the technology has evolved so rapidly over the last year and year and a half that you can pretty much generate very, very convincing looking deepfakes based on, you know, a voice clone or an image of another person. So I think, you know, making sure that you do your research, check the background, don't trust everything that you see online, because it is extremely straightforward and easy for a bad actor to produce something that's very visually compelling in a very short space of time. I am optimistic that the technology will get better. I think we're getting better at detecting some of this stuff now. And so now over time, I expect it'll be easier for us to identify what is, you know, quote unquote, real and what is not. But this is an arms race that's live at the moment.
Oh, very much so. And so folks could learn more over at redsift.com. That's R-E-D-S-I-F-T, redsift.com/resource-center. And is there any other final quick words for people individually to feel at least a little bit better about how to navigate the online world these days?
Yeah, I think individually choices are limited, because ultimately it's down to the organizations to really harden their attack surface and make it more difficult and more expensive for the bad actors to do this. But I would recommend that individuals stay, you know, paranoid, when especially when they're looking at text messages and emails. You know, if your bank suddenly asks you to do something really unexpected at a really unexpected time, it's likely to be a fake.
Exactly. Rahul Pawar, thank you very much for the visit and for the advice. It's much appreciated. Thanks for spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And again, redsift.com is the website to go to on that. We'll be talking to author Laura Bird and a fire teacher from Ellsworth over her comments about the Charlie Kirk killing. That's all coming up yet. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I cannot believe it's almost fall already. Where did the summer go?
I know, it flies by faster every year.
Well, I suppose we better start checking off the fall to-do list before you know it.
Shh, don't say the S word.
Snow?
Yes.
We live in Wisconsin, honey. It's coming. But we have to get the furnace checked. Remember that awful noise it made last year? Who should we call?
Your parents just had Tri-City Services install their new AC and said they did a great job. Let's call them.
All right, let me Google them. Wow, they have a 4.9 rating. And their website is calltricity.com. Easy to remember. Wait, they do plumbing now too?
Call Tri-City Services now to get a free quote on a new heating system. Visit calltricity.com or call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today to get a free quote on a new furnace and receive $480 off. Or call for a system check before it gets cold. Remember, calltricity.com.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Clockett Septic for this Friday, September 26, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by a couple of members of the Wisconsin Rapids Public School System. First off, we have Superintendent Ron Rasmussen with us. Ron, always good to have you with us.
Hi, James.
Thanks for being here. And you brought our friend Steve Thayer with, principal of Howe School and future WFHR member, just because you're here a lot, Steve. You just automatically get brought in. We'll put you right next to Ron's cot in the back. We'll just put you guys right there.
It's an honor, James. I tell you what, so glad to be back.
Appreciate the time from both of you, and it's certainly deeply appreciate all the work that you individuals and your teams put into our schools and our kids. Thank you very much for that. And as many of us know out there, new year, new school year and all that, what is the focus at Howe? How do you get the ball rolling, if you will, over there, Steve?
Yeah, so we start every year by really reminding our students what it means to be in a school setting, right? They've just been running around all summer. And like, if we remember, the rules of summer are just different, right? They're just different. They're not bad. They're just different. So every year when we come back, we start with what I like to call our four pillars of being a Bulldog. We're responsible, we're respectful, we're safe, and we're a learner. And those are those four areas. So at the beginning of this year, we really started it on that. I do a video announcements every day with my students. And so we spent some time talking about each one of those areas and how it applies to the school. Our teachers have classroom commitments for each grade level of this is how we're going to act in these four areas while we're learning in the classroom. And then we talk about it in our common spaces as well, especially the cafeteria and the playground are our two biggest areas because you get a lot of kids at once. And we talk about how is it important to be even a learner in the cafeteria. You know, I don't want to just sit down with my best bud and just have our heads buried in conversation with each other. We talk about growing our group and being a learner even in the cafeteria. Find someone you've never met before, invite them to sit with you, and even you can be a learner in that area as well.
How do you find ways to do that with the kids, and especially with multiple grades?
One of the ways that we do is we have a boot camp, for lack of a better term, at the beginning of the year, where we just talk about all of those different areas. And like this year, I had the opportunity to pull each grade level out to the playground, and we just sat on the playground together, and we talked, and we said, all right, you know, fifth graders, like, you guys tell me, what are areas that you can respect one another on the playground? What are areas that you can be responsible for the equipment and responsible for the younger kids too, because they have those opportunities as well. So I had that great opportunity to sit down with each grade level and have that conversation this year, which was a great opportunity.
When it comes to what you just said there, I think there's, I don't want to skate past it. It's so important to listen to kids. It's so important to ask kids. And I don't put this on anybody. There's not blame anywhere here, nothing like that. The older we get, the more we think we know. And we do to a degree. But there's plenty of things that these kids know that we could learn if we listen to them and talk to them. And certainly when it comes to what you're talking about right there. And there is no downside to that. There is no negative side to that or anything. Mm-hmm. And not only does it, first off, I mean, we all know that kids don't always do everything we ask of them. It doesn't mean that whatever they say we're going to do. It just means that we're hearing them. And that right there is a win. That mm-hmm. right there makes them feel important, makes them feel more confident, maybe to talk to another adult about something. And certainly if there's heavier issues involved there for that child or something, it is a win-win type of thing.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. And really what I always try to remind our older students is, remember what it was like when you were in second and third grade. You knew every single fourth and fifth grader. You knew everything about them. You knew what they like to do. And I just remind them, I'm like, look, you guys, like, you're that fourth and fifth grader now. Like, they know everything there is to know about you. And so it's not just modeling that now, right? For the first time in some of our fourth and fifth graders' lives, they get to actually live out being a leader and what that means. And so not only do we talk about it, but we also give them opportunities to start fleshing out that leadership and what that means. We have a great program, not just at Howe, but in our whole district called Playworks. Mm-hmm. And we have junior coaches in every elementary building, and they take a position of leadership. So we have a handful of fourth and fifth graders that they go and spend time at recess with first and second graders, with kindergartners, and they help them learn different games. They help them resolve conflict, and they help, like, really just model to them what it means like to be responsible, respectful, safe, and a learner on the playground. And so we really try and give them opportunities to live that out, not just sit here and talk about it.
And talking with kids, not just talking at them or something, goes so far. But something else you mentioned there, too, about peers and people a little bit older than them talking to them, they listen to that so much more. They hear that so much more.
100%.
It goes so far with that. Mm-hmm. And those kids know what it's like better than we do in that regard.
Yeah.
The other part of it, too, that stands out to me, and we'll kind of use this to branch into the next part of things. When it comes to modern kids and modern schools and modern learning and so much of that, you two and your teams individually know this way better than I could. My kids are in their mid to late 20s, but even with them being relatively younger, I still have no idea what it's like for a young kid to deal with social media or dealing with technology or just having these supercomputers we're walking around with on our hips mm-hmm. or any of that. All of that said, being able to do those things you were talking about before, I think it makes it all the more noteworthy to be able to do it. Any generation, any group of kids, certainly. But in this day and age, man, it's incredible work you guys are doing. And the way you're breaking that down goes so much farther than I think we can really put into words.
Well, and you're absolutely right. You know, just even the brain functionality of an elementary student now compared to when we were in elementary is so different. And we can attribute a lot of that to just the use of technology, but the effect on our students' psychology of, you know, being on screens at home, being on screens when they're outside, and then coming to school where a lot of times there's limited screen time. And when you do have screen time, it's not just relaxed time, it's directed, right? We're using our technology for a learning tool, not an entertainment device. And so there's such a difference for that. And we've actually learned that that requires different tools for us to use. And I'm so proud of my staff and some of the work that they've done on this. Specifically, we have a whole new space within our building. We call it Howie's Place, right? We're the Bulldogs. And so great Howie name. The Bulldog, great he's my name. Guy, right?
Awesome.
And so we have Howie's Place at Howe. And essentially what it is it's a sensory regulation space. Any student at Howe can get permission from any staff
member. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Crews are still combing the rubble of a Latter-day Saints church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, a day after police say a local Marine veteran drove his car through the front doors, opened fire, and set the building on fire. Paul Kirby was outside.
I open up the door and start running, trying to find my family, and that was the scariest moment of my life, is not knowing my family was okay.
Suspect shot and killed by police. President Trump will meet with congressional leaders as a Wednesday morning deadline looms. CBS's Robert Costa.
The president believes he has the power, I'm told, to use executive power to get rid of federal jobs, to cut some federal salaries, should there be a shutdown.
Some in Missouri have concerns after the governor there signed a law creating a new congressional map that could add one GOP seat.
Particularly the controversy over whether the districts were drawn in a way that's clear or whether there are voters who are technically in two districts. And the governor seemed to say that he'll let the courts play that out as they will.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.